Hello, my name is Delmer Eldred, and I want to welcome you to an interview with Todd Myers. He is the director of the Center for Environment at the Washington Policy Center. He has over two decades of working on numerous environmental issues, including climate policy, wildlife conservation, old growth forest, and salmon recovery. And he is also an accomplished author, and his latest publication, Time to Think Small, which examines how to leverage technology that can protect our environment and make us become effective stewards of our environment. And Todd, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it. Thank you so much for having me on.
And today I would like to talk about Inslee CO2 tax and what's the projected cost that we're looking at on this?
So let me give you a little bit of background. As of January 1st, Washington State now has a system like California, which is what's called a cap and trade system, which puts a cap on total emissions for the state and covers gasoline, diesel, propane, natural gas, other things like that. And so any gasoline distributor or distributor diesel has to buy an allowance from the state for every gallon that they sell. And the price of those allowances is set based on an auction. So it's a little bit difficult to say exactly how much the price will be because the price is based on those auctions and based on an artificial market created by the state. But using the state's own projections, they did a study last year where they projected the cost would be $58 a metric ton of CO2. And what that translates in case you don't know how that translates, it's about 46 cents a gallon. Now, that's just an estimate based on the projected market and other things like that. It could be higher than that. It could be lower. But the minimum is $22 a metric ton, which is about 17 cents a gallon. And the maximum is $81 a metric ton, which is about 74, 75 cents a gallon. So it's a big range, but the minimum it's going to cost is probably about 17 cents a gallon.
Well, Todd, to me, it seems like there's more to this carbon tax. And I mean, the fuel is a big thing, but is it kind of like a floating tax? Can it keep applying to more and more things and also increase at will? And then basically, it's going to cause the cost of everything to go up, right?
That's right. Because energy is involved in everything, it impacts the cost of everything. So, for example, it does exempt agricultural fuel, so red dyed fuel. But obviously, the cost of goods, the cost of shipping and other things like that, and the fuel to ship things is covered. So even though there was a sort of a small carve out for some aspect of agriculture, it still has an impact on everything. So that is what you have to remember is that it can reach basically every product that uses energy, which is everything. And I remember actually when this was first being discussed, there was somebody who was advocating this very system who said he liked it because it reached every corner of the economy. So that's sort of how expansive it is. But again, in terms of cost, it's hard to predict. It is not, it's not like a gas tax where they say, okay, 10 cents a gallon. It is based on an auction. And so if there is high demand for gasoline and the cap is very restrictive, well, then the price is going to go way up. But if people use less than expected, well, the price may go down. So the price isn't set by the legislature, but it is still very expensive. Like I say, it's a minimum of 17 cents a gallon.
Well, it just seems like every time that Inslee puts a tax on, and he loves taxes, but every time he puts a tax on something, and I think this here is a monster that is going to be something that is really going to devastate the economy of this Washington state. I can't see it going any other way. But so what do you think? I mean, do you think this is going to cause a lot of businesses to go out of business?
Yes, I think it's going to have a very serious impact. And there are other places where we see this. So, for instance, California most notably has this exact same system. And what you see, of course, is that, you know, California is losing business and losing population. They have this also in the Northeast, in Massachusetts and New York and in the Northeast. And what you see is that, you know, in the last decade, where manufacturing recovered in most parts of the country after the Great Recession, it did not in the Northeast because they had not quite the same, a similar but not the same type of system. So it definitely has an impact. And, you know, quietly, the people who support this admit that. And so they have exempted in the near term manufacturing and other things like that. But those industries then get covered by this. They exempted them because they know it's hard to manufacture when you have these high costs and taxes. So they admit it, they just don't like to talk about it. And what's bizarre is that the Department of Ecology, who is implementing this, says that the cost will be very little. And the governor himself says, oh, it'll just be pennies per gallon, which is, I think, ludicrous. But they know it's not. California openly says that the cost is much higher than that. And in New York, Governor Hochul, who just announced a similar that she wants to implement a similar thing in New York, the first thing she says is she wants to create a rebate program to mitigate costs. So every other place that has this system or is considering it recognizes that there are high costs. Except Washington State, we pretend it's going to be very low cost. So I think that, you know, a lot of businesses are going to get a rude awakening. A lot of customers, a lot of citizens are going to get a rude awakening about how much cost gasoline and energy increases they're going to see.
Well, you know, actually, you know, when you look at this, Todd, that's, do you think that this is just another way to grow government and has really, it's not helping any of the problems. It's just creating another tax.
There's no doubt that they're very excited about the taxes. In fact, the estimate is that it would raise more money than expected this year. And the legislature and the governor, none of them said, well, maybe we should give some of that money back. They all came up with all sorts of new ways to spend it. So there's no doubt that they like the tax increases and they like the tax revenue to do exactly what you're saying, spend more money. And in the bill itself, there's a long list of special interest groups that they have promised money to. So they are using it for that purpose. But I think we should, you know, not underestimate the fact that they actually believe this, right? They believe that, you know, climate change is a what they call an existential crisis. And, you know, existential means we're all going to die. And the science doesn't say that. That's absurd. But they actually believe it. So I think it is, you know, they believe that this is a problem to be addressed. And the fact that they get lots and lots of tax money to play with and pay off special interests is a side benefit.
Well, Todd, I mean, I really like your ideas that if you want to cure the ills on the environment, you turn it over to innovators and private industry that wants to compete and market the best ideas. And, you know, that's, in your opinion, what do you feel is the best way to protect the environment without ruining the economy?
Well, I think the way, you know, is to empower individuals on the ground. And we can do that more than ever with technology. People can have more, do more to, you know, reduce the amount of energy that they use. Nobody wants to waste electricity. Nobody wants to waste gasoline because that's money out of your pocket. Everybody wants to save that. And so the most powerful, the things that we've seen that have solved environmental problems again and again is technology and innovation. You know, people who believe in big government and big planning like to ignore that those innovative solutions, but those solutions are not only the most effective. Because if you're not saving, right, if you try to save money by reducing energy and you don't save money, you're going to find another way. If a politician has a policy and they fail, well, what they do is typically lie about it, right? They say, oh, no, it's going great. And we've seen that because, you know, the Governor Inslee has talked about how Washington State is the leader on climate change. And yet our CO2 emissions go up every year. And there's a very funny thing that I noticed that in 2019, the most recent data we have for CO2 emissions, Florida actually had lower per capita CO2 emissions than we did. Well, Florida doesn't have a cap and trade. They don't haven't done all the climate stuff that we have in Washington State. And yet they're doing better than we are, which just shows that this sort of top-down government approach doesn't work. But empowering people from the bottom up to do more with less, to use energy more efficiently, that's what's going to solve our problem. And it's just, frankly, more respectful of individuals and the freedom that individuals should have. That's the American way, not the sort of top-down government approach.
Well, you know, and now your book that you have, where we can use technology and the small technology, actually, right, to make our become effective and help cure the ills in the environment. And, you know, you have addressed common sense ways of working. And it's not, you know, it's not that it's going to cost the taxpayers billions of dollars. I mean, so tell us a little bit about that concept of using technology to for environmental.
Yeah. So my book is called Time to Think Small. And what I really like about it is that many of the people in the book are not, you know, conservative. They're not on the right, they're on the left. But what they recognize, they care about being good stewards of the environment, and they recognize that government solutions weren't achieving. And so they started looking for alternatives. And what they found was that empowering people with small technologies was more effective. And there are lots of folks that I deal with on the left who their priority is not government. Their priority is helping the planet. And when that is their priority, they sound a lot like those of us on the right who want to be good stewards, but don't trust government, big government. So I'll just give you one perfect example. I have in my home a little orange box called a sense monitor that hooks up to the electrical wires in my house. And it senses the electricity going into my house a million times a second and can use artificial intelligence to say, oh, you just turn on the lights. Oh, you're using your dishwasher, things like that, and can tell me where I'm using electricity. And now I can look and say, okay, where am I wasting? Where can I save? And I can tell you that one time I turned on the lights in my kitchen and I realized that it was increasing, that every time I turned on the lights in my kitchen, it was 1,000 watts, which is a lot. And I swapped those out for LEDs, and it went from 1,000 watts to 200. And they paid for themselves within 3 months, but I never would have had that information had I not used technology that is now available. Government can't do that. Government can't help me, you know, figure out where to save money. But I can do it with information. And rather than adding more government and more taxes, it saves me money. So I think that's the real advantage to these approaches, is that it's not, you know, beating people until you do what government wants. It is rewarding you with financial incentives. It is using the market to do more with less. And that's just, it's a truly more sustainable way to do things in the truest sense of the word sustainable.
Well, you know, Todd, the things that you've articles and stuff that you have put out, and then your two books are really just a good way to be able to get involved in the environment and start taking care of it. It should be in, like I said, your books should be in every school in the country so they can start teaching exactly how to fix what is going to be or what the problems are now. And people need to go to to Washington Policy Center and read your articles to get the factual view on the environment and the issues that we're facing, rather than Inslee's make-believe climate change world that he keeps throwing money at, but it doesn't fix. It don't fix anything. It just you know, produces more and more taxes is all it does. So
yeah, and I think one of the things that I want to come out of my books is for people on the center right like me to, have confidence in talking about the environment. I think a lot of people on the center right are worried about saying that they care about the environment because they think that that automatically means more big government and more taxes. It doesn't have to. And in fact, when you look, the best solutions are the solutions that we believe in that are use private innovation and private market incentives. That's where we, solve the, that's where we're really going to address the environmental concerns that I think, many of us share. And so that's what I want my book to do, is to give conservatives that confidence to talk about these issues and to show that the left, while they're very, I think arrogant and right, self-righteous about these issues, in many cases, their stuff doesn't work. So, but the good, like I said, but the thing I really like about my book is that the ideas that are in my book are not, specific to people on the right. There are lots of sincere environmentalists on the left who recognize that this is a better way to solve problems. And so, if you have friends and family members who, are on the left and are concerned about the environment and you disagree with them, hopefully the ideas in my book can reach out to them and say, look, here is a better way for those on the right or the left who truly care about good environmental stewardship.
Well, thank you, Todd. And Todd, would you let people know how to email you or, get a hold of you if they have concerns or want to know more about your books?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, washingtonpolicy.org is our webpage for the Washington Policy Center. The legislature is going on, and so we write every day about what's happening in the legislature to help people keep up. And my contact information is there, and people feel free to send me an email or I'll do my best to respond.
Well, thank you, Todd. And I've been talking with Todd Myers, the director of the Center for Environment at the Washington Policy Center. And Todd, I just want to thank you for your time today.
It was very nice to talk with you.